from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
With the 19th pick in the 2023 NBA Draft, the Golden State Warriors select Brandon Podziemski from Santa Clara University.
I absolutely love this pick. Podziemski can shoot the basketball on the move. He can shoot it on the catch. Yep. He can shoot it off the dribble. And I love that he plays with an edge.
Stolen by Podziemski. It's a breakaway and a dunk for the rookie. What a play by Brandon Podziemski. Fakes and fires over Lillard and hit it. Podziemski stole the pass, turns and shoots at the buzzer, and he banked it in! He banked it in! Spinning toward the right corner, off balance, but on target! This young kid has nothing but confidence.
Dub Nation, this is Brandon Podziemski, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was a pick the Warriors do not regret. Brandon Podziemski. A year ago, the 19th pick, and now just a rookie star and a big piece of the Warriors' future. And he's going to join us here in mere seconds. Willard and Dibs, Team Store, Thrive City, Chase Center, getting ready for night one of the NBA draft. Remember, the Warriors offseason summit with all the hosts is Monday, July 8th. You should go to 957thegame.com and reserve your free spot. It'll be at Fremont Bank, 39150 Fremont Boulevard in Fremont. Space is limited. Brandon Podziemski joins us here on the show on draft night. Brandon, thank you for doing it. How are you, and what do you remember about that night about a year ago?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I'm doing well. Still a long way in the offseason to go, but for a lot of people, it's a start of a new career, new beginnings, and I remember last year being in the same situation and the anxiety of not knowing where you're going to go. But then at the end of the night, finally finding out where you're going to go. And it was an amazing feeling for me and my family, a goal that was accomplished that we had set out to do for, you know, some years, and got to be around the people I love most. So it was a great experience.
It's easy to say that it's great that you were a Golden State Warrior because you were at Santa Clara nearby and obviously a four-time championship team. But how excited and how stoked were you that it was the quote-unquote local team that grabbed you and a team that you could immediately join?
Yeah, I was very excited. Definitely to join a team that has championship caliber experience. Obviously, on the same night, we traded for CP as well. So just kind of going through all those kind of things. But you know, selfishly, you think about, am I going to play? Am I not going to play? And from the looks of it, it didn't really look like I was going to play. And, you know, obviously that was a little bit, you know, kind of scary at first just to kind of go through that. Was thinking somewhat of a Illinois storyline of maybe I'd have to sit out a year and just kind of watch and be in the G League, and then year two would kind of be in my year to play. But fortunately, I got my chance early on in the season, and I kind of ran with it. So I guess it's a blessing to have it both ways.
Brandon Pajemski with us. Brandon, you can answer this either way you want, as a Warrior or just as a person who's now lived right here in the city for the last year or so. Like, what have been your impressions of that? How is your perspective of the Warriors and San Francisco and all of that different now than maybe it was a year ago?
Yeah, I think just a year ago, you know, not knowing much about San Francisco, knowing a little bit about the Bay, mostly familiar with San Jose, Santa Clara area, but being able to just expand, you know, what I get to do, what I get to see. Obviously, we've been done since April, so the offseason is pretty long. So just kind of getting to go out, see some things, but really just, you know, honing in on the work and what it's going to take to make a big push in year two. And that's really just been my main focus these last 8 weeks, and will be the next, you know, 16.
What is the work that you're honing in on? Because you made such a splash, and I'm looking at the note here, you became the first Warrior rookie since Steph to have 20, 10, and 5 in a single game. You had such a big rookie year. You were all rookie team. When you look back at your rookie year, where are the areas that you're hoping to improve in the most?
Yeah, honestly, it seems probably pretty simple, but scoring the ball more. Just talking to Steve and Mike at the end of the year meetings on, you know, what kind of shots I'm going to get, what kind of shots they want me to take. You know, obviously, with being another year under your belt, you're going to get a little bit more leash and have an opportunity to score the ball more. And they know that, you know, my passing and my rebounding is always going to translate and playing hard and stuff like that. That's just something I've always had. And so now it's just how can I, you know, take that next step as a year two player and be able to contribute offensively a little bit more. And then just defensively, you know, playing along Steph, just being that point of attack defender and taking the burden off him so, you know, he doesn't have a tough assignment in terms of a guard matchup every night.
Brandon, you're way younger than me, but I want to ask you for some advice. I have three kids. I always tell them I think the key to life is waking up every day with confidence, and it's not easy to give to young people. Everyone I've ever talked to says that you might be the most confident person they've ever been around. How do you do it? Where does it come from?
Yeah, I think it comes from a bunch of different places. I think part of it is growing up around a family that is about winning and wants to win at everything you do. And I think another part of it is the work that you put into stuff like this, that you care about, and knowing that, you know, you put it in for a reason. And, you know, history always repeats itself, and, you know, those who put in the work before you, you know, tend to have success. So you kind of follow that model. And, you know, a lot of the greats are really confident, super confident. You look at Kobe, Michael, even Steph, just super confident people because they believe in, you know, what they put into the game. So they feel like they will get that in return. So I think those two things. But then, you know, fortunately, basketball is not a predominantly white man sport. So, you know, half the battle is kind of looking the part. And for me, just kind of showing I belong, just from a, you know, from a look perspective, I think it's a big thing for me. So I think a combination of those three things is what's kind of just led me to have that daily confidence in myself.
Brandon Pajemski here on 95.7 The Game, and you definitely came in with a swagger from day one, and it was easy to see from those of us on the outside looking in. How important was it, or how nice was it for you to have TJD, another rookie alongside, also make a big impact for a team that has so many veterans?
Yeah, it's very important to share similar experiences. I've said it many times, just going through the ropes with him, Summer League, G League, playing in rotation, not playing in rotation, starting together, not starting together. Just to have that experience with him, being another rookie, made the transition kind of very seamless, just because you had someone else to lean on, had someone that was sharing the same experiences with you. So to have that is super big. And I think for me and him, it's going to be really important to, you know, whoever we draft tomorrow, to kind of put them under our shoulders and take them under their wing, because it'd only be them. We only have obviously one pick. So take them under and kind of show them the ropes is kind of our job now. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Brandon, last year you were about to get drafted. This year, you're now an established NBA player that has to deal with this time of year as July approaches and all of the player movement and the rumors that go around with that. I haven't heard really any involving you, but I would imagine every player has at least the thought in the back of their mind that they don't know what's about to happen next. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, for me, I'm a very simple, realistic person. If something happens, it's going to be for the right reason. And for me, from a team's perspective, whoever shows up on October 1st is what we have to work with. And that's just what my mindset will be. So whatever happens these next few months, whoever shows up to training camp day one in a Warriors uniform is what we have to go with for the 2025 season. And that's how I'll go.
I'm sitting here in the team store with my main man, Mark Willard, and I'm just looking up here, and I see a number two jersey, Podziemski, hanging, and, I mean, it's right next to Kuminga. There's some Currys, there's some Thompsons, Wiggins, and all the rest of it. What's that moment like for you when you walk in the arena and you see people rocking the two, or you come in the team store and you see a rack full of your jerseys? Do you have that oh, wow moment still, or are you kind of over that?
I definitely did, for sure. Seeing my, you know, people with my jerseys, especially some Santa Clara jerseys at the games, definitely a cool thing for me. And you take a step back and you realize, like, oh, wow, people, you know, are really fans and really enjoy, you know, getting to watch me play and so much that they have a jersey of mine. So see that is, you know, pretty cool. It means I'm, you know, I think I'm doing the right things. And I think for me, it's just how can, you know, I have other parents and, you know, kids want to aspire to be like me, because I feel like my story can be shared with a lot of people and they can relate. And by just doing that, I think it's cool to see that in return, you know, they sacrifice and give up their money to buy my jersey.
Brandon, we saw you earlier in the playoffs try to take our jobs. We saw you.
That was awkward.
Yeah, we saw you show up and interview Luka, and wanted to get a little bit of a reaction to that, but maybe ask it in this way. Now that you're a professional sports media guy, what question, if you could have one, would you ask yourself if you were us right now?
I feel like my question to myself, if I was in your perspective or your shoes, would be just how I got here and how was I able to mentally stay the course through a lot of adversity that didn't necessarily go how you have envisioned it. I think that'd be my question, because, you know, it is tough and it is a journey and everyone's is different. But for me personally, just like how I got through the circumstances I had to get through to get where I am now.
All right, so how did you get to where you are today, and how did you mentally persevere through all that you had to deal with?
Yeah, I think it takes a lot, but it all comes down to, you know, what your goals are in life, what your motivations are, and what do you want from yourself. I knew the school, the 9-to-5 job wasn't kind of the route I ever wanted to be in. Not saying that's a bad thing or people can't be successful from it, but I knew I wanted to be a sports player, whether it was baseball or basketball. So anything that kind of got in the way of that, I just kind of eliminated that. But in terms of the distractions and stuff like that, I just knew that, you know, God would never give me something I couldn't handle. And I always knew that I would get to where I wanted to get to. So anything that, you know, I had trouble with or I didn't play, I just looked at it in a different light of how could I use this to help me be better in the future. And I thought that's what I would have to do this first year with the Warriors, you know, thinking I would be in Santa Cruz a lot. So how could I use this year to propel myself for next year? So there's no question in Steve's mind or Mike's mind that I should be playing a lot. Obviously, tables are different. I did play a lot. But that's just kind of my mindset. Everything that's a struggle for me is just how can I attack it and how can I get around it to be better? So there is no doubt in anybody's mind that I'm capable.
And that's kind of the mindset you took up on the bump when you threw out the first pitch with the Giants. Was that a moment where you were thinking about a fallback career? Looked like you took that first pitch pretty seriously, Brandon.
No, I did. It was a dream come true for my dad, for sure. He wanted me to be a baseball player. He still does. So for him to be there and see that, it was really cool. But I always tell people if I could play and the Giants offered me a contract, I definitely would play. Baseball is still the love of mine. It's still a passion. I'm still good at it, fortunately. But yeah, it's just something I've, you know, never really had to work at. It's just something, a natural gift I had. But yeah, if I could play again, I definitely would.
Dude, all of their pitchers are hurt. They're all hurt, Brandon. Have you called? Have they called?
No, they haven't. But if the day comes, you might see me in a Giants uniform.
There you go. Game time's about 2.5 hours away. I don't know if number two is available, but I feel like we can get you up there on the bump. They could probably use you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of the way most people respond about the Giants pitching right now. But anyway, Brandon, great stuff. Great kind of going down memory lane of a year ago tonight. So much has changed. And so here we go to get to do it again. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate you for having me.
There it is. That's Brandon Pajemski. Yeah. So not just future NBA star, future Major League Baseball star, future sports media star.
There you go. Yeah, and his media turn was, it was memorable. The question was a little bit long, a little bit meandering, but he'll learn to tighten that up a little bit as he gets deeper in the media.
I'll tell him how to not be long-winded. Let me have him for a few minutes. I'll teach him.
Great question.
Yeah, there you go. Play the one that I got, Granny. Enough about the ones that Willard gets all the time.
That's a great question.
That's the one.
It was Kirchin, wasn't it? It was Verducci.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Equally esteemed.
Yeah. That's a good question.
That's
a four. I wish I didn't like your Kirchin as much as I did.
Oh,
I was actually just thinking about Brandon and his last name as we were doing the interview, because we have our bit of all the mispronunciations.
It's not even our bit. It was real. Like, everybody's
messed
up the name.
But more and more now, it's not real anymore
because
he's become a name.
Yes.
He's become a household name in, you know, among Dub Nation. But now it's like Pajemski.
Pajemski, yeah, it's easy.
But I kind of missed the old bit where it was Pajowski and the Poughkeepsie Kid and all the rest of it.
I bet you we still got a couple coming this year.
But we're running out of time.
I know. No, I mean, you two is coming. There you go.
When I had that moment, because, you know, we're talking and he's not in the room and Raymond Ritter's here and I'm looking at the camera and I look up and there it is right there. There's a rack of pods right there.
Well, and the funny thing is, from this distance, when you look at his last name on a jersey, it literally looks like somebody just threw half of the alphabet on a jersey.
It looks like Yastrzemski from here.
It's a lot of little letters. They're all squeezed in up against each other. There's a lot of letters going on there. There's no way around that.
And somebody on our YouTube feed, I didn't catch the name because the feed's jumping off today, talking about the Klay Thompson jerseys being half off here pretty soon.
Well, that's
and I'm not ready for that sort of material, so I'm not even going to say it.
No.
It's mean-spirited.
It does feel like a... I don't know what word to use. This is an interesting time.
It is.
This is an interesting time. I love that, from Mike Dunleavy the other day to Larry Harris with us earlier, I appreciate that the Warriors have not run from where this is. We all get it, right? There might be a major change, and there might not be. And so they've spoken to that well. Trades are hard. All of the quotes that have come this week. And so it's a difficult position, and that's even what I was getting at with the conversation you and I just had about Klay. There's some semantics involved. I'm not asking the Warriors to say anything different than what they've already said. They have to say it that way. If you want to talk about respecting a legend, at minimum you have to say it that way. But I'm also going to express some concern with regard to if this does weave its way back to Klay, I'm worried about his mentality based on what we've seen the last couple of years. I'd be very worried that Klay takes that to the court, to the locker room, to whatever. It's not that he's not a professional, but he clearly is someone who is more cognitive than others.
Yeah.
We know this, right? He internalizes things, and this is probably not the whole year. It's not gone the way he envisioned it. I think that's fair.
And I think you could say that the offseason so far doesn't seem to be going the way he envisioned that as well. But I do think that when all of the dust settles and the chips fall where they may, he gets to a point where the reality sets in of where he is, whether it's here or elsewhere, what he's being paid, whether it's 2 years or 3 years or whatever the average annual is. I do have faith that he comes to a spot where he's able to kind of put that behind him, because you have clarity. And this year was not about clarity. And I think that's what led to a lot of his angst and a lot of his edge, was the fact that he didn't have clarity. He had a deal offered allegedly up front that he didn't like. And then from then on, it was a series of missteps, missed shots, and it was frustrating.
Well, look, but the bottom line is this. No matter what anybody finds sort of like emotionally difficult in their life, they can get to a point where they'll say, okay, I've got that now. I'm better. I've thought about it. I had a conversation, whatever. And we always think that, oh, I'm getting better at it. But you fall off the wagon sometimes,
oh,
too.
Yeah. No doubt.
Right? So Clay has these closed-door meetings with Steve Kerr toward the end of the year. You did hear him hold press conferences where he would say, listen, they've really helped me start to just, like, I just want to enjoy the rest of my career. I want to be thankful that I get to still come play basketball
exactly.
every day. That's better than what it was for a two-year stretch when I was hurt. You'd hear that. And then the week later, you'd see something that made me feel like, oh, we're not feeling so thankful. Even to a point where, and again, we don't have clarity on this, but if you're unfollowing the Warriors on social media, that doesn't feel like someone who's just kind of in a happy-go-lucky space. And again, it's not that I don't get it. I get it. How is this not difficult? You're a legend. You've been through two horrific injuries. Other people who have been your counterparts have gotten signed, and now you're in this situation kind of really for the first time in your life. And I got to imagine, just like we talk with Brandon Ayuk, this can do things to your mind that are very challenging. Very challenging. And some guys are built for it, and they're just like, whatever. And other guys really take it with them every step of the day.
I can honestly say I'm built for this.
Steve Wilkes might be built for it. Maybe Brandon Ayuk's not built for it. So
right.
That's all I'm saying. I like, if you're right, phenomenal. If Clay, wherever he ends up, gets to a spot where he's like, that's the way it went, let's go play ball,
exactly.
I'm having a blast. If he gets there, great. I have some concerns that
yeah.
he can do that based on the experience of the last couple of years.
I don't have as many concerns because I know what it essentially is. It's a compartmentalization sensation is what it is. And I've had to do it. You've had to do it. And maybe it comes with age when you realize that you get to a spot and X, Y, or Z didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And then, okay, you have a choice. Either blow it up and do something else, or you swallow hard, you suck it up, you grab your lunch pail and your hard hat,
yep.
and you get to work.
But I'd argue that I've seen some things in Clay through the years that would suggest that's not his strength. Like, I covered Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
You want to talk about a compartmentalization sensation.
That's a buck.
That dude could take, he could take all this.
Oh, yeah, and there was a lot of that.
Shove it in his back pocket
yep.
and go get you 42. That's not
that's a
Clay.
That's a rare individual.
Right. Fair. That's
yes.
a fair point. That's just the first example that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
That's not Clay. Clay Thompson, I'm comfortable saying, he carries some of this stuff with him. It's not really a criticism. It's
yeah.
just who we've seen him to be.
And I do think, though, that part of what he has carried with him is the uncertainty of his situation.
It's
and
fair.
When you get to an offseason, and then you get certainty, and if the market says you're 2 years and $30 million, and that's what you are, well, then that's what you are. And that, at that point, you could be bummed about passing on 2 and 48. You can be forlorn about making 42. You can be sad about once being a max player. But at the end of it, at the end of the day, as Rod Woodson used to say in our interviews when we had him on the show,
yep.
at the end of the day, if you're 2 and 30, if you're 2 and 26, that's what you are. Dribble, shoot. This is what you get paid
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, like, listen, I get what you... Let
I
me
think
throw,
that he can do that.
Let me throw a totally faux scenario at you, because none of us know how the
a
next
scenario.
Few weeks is. There you go. Here we go, yo. So,
thank you.
Let's say the market isn't wonderful. Let's say no one wants to do 3 years. Let's say Clay ends up coming back around. The Warriors have a good conversation with him, and he does get a contract that's 2 years, less than the reported offer that was on the table before the year, and the Warriors say, we would like you to be the sixth man. You think Clay's just going to be like, sweet, let's ride?
I think he can get to that point, absolutely.
He could.
Yeah.
I think he could struggle to get to that point.
I think he could struggle, but you have a long time between a July 11th signing and an October 18th, I'm guessing.
Sure.
I don't know exactly when the opener is, but that's 3 months for you to realize how good you have it. You still get to boat to work. Rocco is still running up and jumping on your lap and slobbering
life,
on you.
Life is not going to be bad. I'm
exactly.
not saying that.
I do think with time, you can realize that life is still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you wanted X and you had to settle for Y and Z, I think that you can get there. I think the uncertainty is partly what would cause him the turmoil.
I wish you had this kind of faith in Draymond. Will you bring this attitude to our next Draymond conversation?
I wish you were more positive on this show. I'm sick and tired of carrying the water as Captain Positivity
somebody's
around
here. Somebody's got to keep you
Dr.
real.
Negatron over
crying
here.
Out loud. Draft Show is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners. Their people, process, and passion inspire them to holistically serve their client families, and our draft coverage continues tomorrow. Steiny and Goo, Warriors headquarters, starting at 10 a.m. We right now are at the team store. Thrive City, Chase Center, draft night one. Remember, if you come down to the team store and mention 95.7 The Game, you, my friends, will get 25% off. We are inching closer to the start of this thing. There's still plenty to discuss with the Warriors. 888-957-9570, the number right here on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
How we're going to view the first round is there'll be calls that are made at trying to acquire some of our players that are under contract. We haven't made any calls yet to acquire a pick in the first round. I would say that unless something happens between now and 15 minutes until I go back into our meetings, I don't anticipate us getting into the first round today. That's not to say at some point, you know, the first, second, third pick, there's somebody we're excited about that's falling after 15 or 20.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
That was Larry Harris on with Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Earlier, Draft Show Live, Chase Center, Team Store. Come on down, mention 95.7 The Game. Get 25% off anything in the store. I loved that quote. There was some funny stuff in there. he's like, I don't anticipate us moving into the first round today.
Yeah.
Well, how about tomorrow?
Yeah, it'd be tough to do it tomorrow.
I'm pretty sure it's got to be today, Larry, yeah. Or else you don't get to do it.
And he also said that there's, a moratorium between 3 o'clock Pacific and the start of the first round. So right now...
Correct. We're already in the moratorium.
Right. So right now they couldn't make any sort of a move like that to move in the first round.
I pretty much got the vibe from Larry that we can probably relax about the Warriors making a transaction tonight.
Yeah.
He seemed pretty laid back.
He did.
I don't think anything's about to go down.
He either said to me before the interview or he said it on the show. I can't remember which one, but they are still working the phones. Like, the phone's ringing.
Of course.
And it's not necessarily about, hey, do you want to move up and get Zach Edey, who I call the big stiff, and I like that big stiff from Purdue. And early on in the draft cycle, a lot of mocks had him in the second round, and I thought, oh, could he possibly? No, he's not going to slide that far, and now he might be late lottery or in the teens tonight, first-round pick. But, you know, Larry made it seem like that phone's ringing.
Sure.
They might not
be talking about the draft, but
exactly.
The phone is ringing.
No doubt.
I mean, there are plenty of reports out there. Logan Murdoch just reported this earlier today. This will surprise no one, but it's good to see it in a report that the Warriors are aggressively shopping both Andrew Wiggins and Chris Paul. There are some rumors bouncing around right now about Wiggins. I don't know if they're super believable. They haven't come from top sources at this point, so I'm not really of the mind to share them. I just know that the Warriors are aggressively shopping Andrew Wiggins. I did see some people sort of make this A to B. And I bet you'd agree with this, even though I'm not so sure. And here's what people would say. Let's say Wiggins goes in a deal, just any deal. Wiggins gets traded. A lot of people go, well, that means Kuminga is involved in the Paul George trade then, if there were to be a Paul George trade.
I don't see it that way.
Well, Paul George would be opting in, and the number is in the mid-40s, correct? Chris Paul's contract alone gets you sort of in the neighborhood.
48.8 for Paul George.
So you could do Chris Paul, Kevon Looney, Moses Moody, and a pick.
Yeah, that gets you close.
You could do it.
Could be GP2,
yeah.
Kevon,
yep.
And, you know,
you can
any
do
of
it.
Those things for sure.
You can do that. Is that attractive to the Clippers? I'd argue, actually, yes, I would. Because the $30 million is salary that you can grab. Moses Moody is an interesting young player. A pick is a pick. And again, I just don't think the Clippers are in that powerful of a position. That said, who knows which way this is going to go. I do think the Paul George stuff, like there are days right now, all day, every week, it's been like, this is not realistic. It's just not realistic. And then I wake up the next day, and you hear some people talking about it, and you see the Knicks do a 5-year deal for Ananobi, and you're like, man, maybe this is realistic. So there are high-level NBA people who have said that's unrealistic. There are high-level NBA people who have said it's the most likely landing spot for Paul George. And the exciting thing for fans, especially if you're into it, is that the Paul George thing could happen like as soon as 48 hours from now, this weekend.
Exactly. It could happen Monday, it could happen Friday, it could happen after Monday, but you start to look at the other teams that might be in the Paul George running, and New York was a big one, and when you sign Ananobi to that kind of a contract, and you still have Isaiah Hartenstein, who you probably want to bring back, although he might now be too rich for their blood, you start to stack up all the money that they're already going to be spending next year, and I don't know how they're going to be able to afford Paul Paul George, who's going to be another max player, and you already have Brunson and Randall, unless Randall's a part of a trade.
Yep.
You know, if you send out Randall, and I don't know if the Clippers would be the team, maybe it's a multi-team trade, and, you know, those things always happen in the NBA, so you don't know what that deal would look like, but it feels like New York might be all set at the wing after re-signing Ananobi.
888-957-9570. We would love to take your calls on anything Warrior offseason related as we approach the NBA draft. And as a starting point, we've been asking all afternoon, Paul George, four-year max contract, do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea? And the reason we bring it up is Brian Windhorst already did. He absolutely pointed to the Warriors as a possible landing spot for Paul George and said they are one of the teams prepared to offer him a four-year max contract. He is currently 34 years old, just turned 34 last month. So you can weigh in on that. Let's go to Mike in Santa Clara here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Mike, what's up?
Willard, man, you took my thunder. That was the exact trade that I was thinking of, exactly.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. It just means you and I are, we've got similar weirdo brains.
Exactly. Now, there was another one. I was kind of just playing around with the numbers and the math and everything. But if Wiggins was to be involved instead of CP3, you know, you keep Looney in there. You still keep the two first-rounders. But I was also thinking also of adding, even though we just, you know, we want, you know, like with GP2 and then Santos involved, that could still put us within that range also. But just from what I was thinking was, like, we would probably be around 11 to 13 million under and on top of it. So it still gives us a chance. One, we keep Minga. We still keep TJB. We also keep Hodge. And then we can still work on re-signing Clay as well. And all the, in the end, guys, it really just matters to just signing Steph, but getting him to another ring. And honestly, we just need, and Diz, this is for you, we just need to get one for the thumb on that one. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate that. And I should have mentioned one for the thumb in our crossover when we were all talking about embarrassing moments where, like Steiny talking about having John Sally on, and he thought it was John Fogarty, and I was doing high school state championship game, and I asked the coach from Modesto Christian, Roger Canepa, hey, so I guess we'll see you back here next year. One for the thumb,
Thumb.
And he holds up his hand, on which there are only four fingers.
Correct.
He goes, yeah, well, probably not, because I don't even have one. And so, you know.
Which I really, again, I know no one wants to blame the guy who's only got nine digits. But
yeah, about nine and a half, honestly.
He really could have pointed to his other hand.
Could have.
He could have.
But he didn't.
And sold you out.
He actually
did.
And what happened was, Mark, is I didn't prepare properly. You know, you're doing five state championship games, and so you're doing all your prep, and I never Googled Roger Canepa table saw accident.
Yeah, well,
Roger Canepa finger count.
But he had a thumb. It was just on the other hand.
So after the show, I go home, and I'm up all night trying to figure out if I missed it, and about 3 hours in, I see a story from the Modesto Bee, Roger Canepa woodworking accident. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Dude, that sounds like one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Just out there.
With a table saw.
Trying to build a chair or something like that.
Oh,
and
Schmidt.
And you saw your thumb off?
About half of it.
Oh, God. I'd rather be Ronnie Lott. Like, at least he knew it was coming.
Seriously.
Oh, my gosh. That's brutal.
It's a bad beat. But anyway, hence the one for the thumb. One for the thumb is one that will be a part of my obituary someday. Probably paragraph 7.
I know.
The one-time high school host, comma. Most famous for one for the thumb, comma. Yeah.
888-957-9570. Draft show, team store, Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Really glad that you're with us for this. And excitement feels like it's building. And to me, that's kind of a word that needs to be brought up more. Look, the Warriors are trying to win basketball games. They're trying to maximize Steph. They're trying to conduct themselves in a good way as a basketball team. That stuff's all like the standby. There's another aspect to this, though, in my mind. When we talk about, for example, a Paul George and a four-year max contract, even those of you who right now here today are like, bad idea. Don't do that. He can be 38 years old. He's been hurt a bunch of times. Max contract? 38 years old? What are we doing? If that's your opinion, I think it's a fair opinion, but I'd also argue that even if you think that, the second it became reality, you'd be more excited than you were the minute before. This is about creating excitement, not just making the roster better. I do think that in the backroom conversations about this, the Warriors are aware, Joe Lacob is aware, we've got to get better, but we've got to get more interesting. We've got to create new excitement. Part of these legends being on this team, we love them. Everyone has wanted them to finish in this jersey, but at the same time, it forces it to be like it's the same group every single year. And I do believe that a good, healthy portion of the fan base has arrived at a time where they're really ready for something fresh as far as a preseason storyline.
Yes, and I do think a lot of the fans are pointing at Clay as the one that is not only most likely to go, but maybe the one that they most want to go. And Draymond was a guy last offseason that many fans wanted to see moved off the team, and some fans still do, but he's going to be here for three more years because he's under contract, and you know they're not trading Draymond Green as long as they have Steph Curry still on the team. So I do agree with you about the excitement, and I'm somebody who thinks that the Paul George max contract would be a bad idea, but it would also be very exciting to see PG-13 as a Golden State Warrior if they allowed him to wear that number. I know Wilt had the number, so it's probably retired, and so he won't be able to keep it unless they make a special move. That I think it's a bad move to give him the max, but it would be exciting.
I want to circle back to let you sort of reiterate to everyone why you think it's a bad idea, but first, to pass along yet another signing. And again, all of the signings right now are only going to be players returning to their own team, because we are not at a period yet where you can sign elsewhere. But Nick Claxton will sign a four-year deal to return to the Brooklyn Nets, $100 million. So Nick Claxton gets something in the neighborhood of the Draymond Green contract at $25 a year.
Pretty good. Yeah. Good money if you can earn it. Nick Claxton, 4 years and 100. So, yeah, and that's where Klay Thompson could be re-signed right now. You know, teams can re-sign their own right now, but you mentioned it before. It feels like there's a stalemate in talks, and whether or not an offer has ever been made or not, right now there's no offer on the table for Klay Thompson.
Yeah, well, Claxton was going to be an interesting free agent. It's certainly a name I heard some Warrior fans dream about because of his youth, because of his height. Nick Claxton is not going anywhere, and that after the Nets were able to, and I don't want to use the word unload, he's a good player, but after the Mikal Bridges move yesterday and the acquisition of a ton of picks.
Right.
I mean, a ton of picks.
And if you're the Nets, you got to have somebody play basketball for you.
Somebody's got to play basketball.
Play.
They don't have to be good players, though.
No, you'd almost rather them not be.
Yeah, there are teams doing the no good players thing.
Yeah.
There's a few of them out there.
For sure.
I went to a game that Charlotte played in this year.
Jeez.
They don't have good players on that team.
No, and eventually they will. I mean, if you acquire, well, you're hoping to be like OKC, where you're not good for a while, and then you acquire picks and you get good. And San Antonio has been that team for 5 years. We talked about it yesterday. Back-to-back 22-60 seasons, and now they've got Wemby, and they've got high picks again today in the lottery. So if you're San Antonio, the future looks pretty bright.
All right, back to what you said a minute ago in answering one of our main questions today, which is simply whether or not you think Paul George, max dollars, 4 years is a good idea or a bad idea. You said bad idea. Why?
He's too injured. And this year he played 74 games in a virtual contract year. Now, he could take his player option and stay with the Clippers for $48 million. That's fine. But it's really virtually a contract year for Paul George. So, stayed healthy, played well, and he was an all-star. And I look at his previous seasons where you see the game total, 56, 31, 54, 48. This is a guy, and I think Steiny had the percentage. I think he's missed 35% of the games over the last five seasons. And that scares me from a guy who is just getting older. I know every player is getting older, but this is a guy who's had a number of injuries, some catastrophic, some ordinary, but he feels to me like a guy who's always hurt. So you're going to give a max contract to a guy who, you know, maybe isn't going to be available, and you've got a team that's already old.
Yeah, I hear you. I could rebut that, though, by saying he's been an all-star three times in the last 4 years. He just completed his best three-point shooting season in his career. Just this season that just ended, and that was 74 games. Is that all the games? No. Is that essentially all the games? Yeah, that's a healthy season.
Yep.
You take 74 games from Paul George. And again, the reason I think good idea is because in my mind, I'm going to split this into two different things. To me, this is not a four-year deal. It's two different two-year deals. And I would argue that maybe one of them is potentially bad, but the first one would be very good. I think the age 34 year and age 35 year at max dollars to be Steph Curry's clear-cut number two scorer on this particular Warrior team and match that two-year deal up with the rest of Steph's career and Steve Kerr's as well, for that matter, very good idea. Now, what happens after that? Well, there are so many questions to answer. Is Steph still going to play? Is he still going to play on the Warriors? Draymond Green becomes an expiring contract that next year, if he even opts into his player option. Could you trade him if you wanted to at that point? Is Steve Kerr still going to be the coach? And all of the other questions that go into it. Has Jonathan Kuminga been extended? Is he on the team? Is Brandon Pajemski going to get his option picked up? Like, that's where we would be at that moment. And so, to me, there's so many ifs and so many questions that there will be so much potential money coming off of the books, also a salary cap that's gone up since then. You're not worried about Paul George making $55 million in 2027. If it's not good at that point, there are a number of things you can do to take care of that. You can attack that, to attack the whole roster in a different way. So therefore, I find it preventative of nothing on the back end. And on the front end, man, I think there's potentially a lot of fruit there.
Well, you're taking the leap that you're going to find a team that's willing to take on a $55 million Paul George, which is not always easy to do that. Mike Dunleavy told you.
No, but I mean,
trades are hard.
But you could keep him.
You could keep an aging player who's breaking down at $55 million.
But after Steph's career, if that's what it is,
right.
There's going to be some sort of a reset.
I like what you're saying about 2 years here and 2 years there, breaking the contract down into two-year increments, because the front 2 years, it could be good. And, you know, I don't know if you're going to be able to stay out of the second apron and avoid those penalties. It feels like they're going to do everything they can to avoid those penalties, because then you start losing draft picks and there's a lot of other restrictions that fall upon you when you are paying more than $190 million in overall salary. So I think that Paul George, if healthy, yeah, he can be a good number two for this team. Does it make you suddenly a top contender in the Western Conference? I don't think so, but that's really not the goal. I think the goal for this team is to do, in part, what you were talking about, get more exciting and bring in a clear-cut number two. And if you do have Kuminga still and Draymond, you probably won't have Klay, and Chris Paul is likely to be the key piece in that trade. Are you more exciting? Sure. Are you better? Absolutely. Are you better enough to be a real NBA Finals threat?
No.
If everything goes right, maybe.
Yeah,
but I don't think so.
And there's other moves to be made on the roster as well. It wouldn't be that all only on its own. But there's also something that you and I both said there that I think is a key thing to highlight. And I found it to be one of the big problems with the Warriors roster last year. I know that, like, for instance, when Larry sits here with us and he talks about the specific needs, our backcourt defense needs to be better. We need a scoring big. That's the specifics. Let me go on something that's a little bit less specific. I thought it was such a huge problem that the Warriors had no clarity and definition in terms of who their second option was. That was a revolving door. Sometimes it was Kuminga. Sometimes it was Klay. Sometimes it was Wiggins. Sometimes it was TBD. It was Pajemski or others who, and I'm not saying the second leading scorer is going to be the same person every night. Guys are going to have great nights and off nights and all of that. But as far as what's our option when we come down the court? Who are we trying to go to? How are we building our offense? the arrival of someone like Paul George, it doesn't even have to be Paul, would provide some clarity in how you're attacking a defense, I think, a little bit better than last year's team.
Absolutely. In last year's team, you had, you know, one of your best players unavailable for almost a third of the season because he had self-control issues, and Klay Thompson was not good for the first couple of months, so he couldn't be the second option, and Podziemski came in and played a lot more, and TJD later, and then Kuminga was your number two for a long time, so I do agree with that. And also, your wing defense gets better with Paul George. If you still have GP2 on the ball and you lose Klay Thompson, but you still have Wiggins, and I guess theoretically you'd still have Kuminga, maybe you wouldn't have Wiggins. Maybe he's a part of the Chris Paul trade that would be what brings back Paul George. But even if you took out Klay and CP3, and you took out, you know, Wiggins, I think your defense still would be solid.
How's this grab you real quick? And this is from Shams, and he made this this report just a short time ago. He said, quote, "I'm told Jimmy Butler will not be signing an extension with the Heat or any other team ahead of his opt-out into 2025 free agency." So now the Jimmy Butler conversation, I would think, at least evolves a little bit into knowing that if there's an acquiring team for Jimmy Butler, it's 1 year. That's it. 1 year. It's certainly, I mean, my immediate read on this is that makes the trade return, if there is one, go down. You're not going to give up too much for 1 year of Jimmy Butler.
Right, and it's an interesting one, too, because he's making 48.8 next year, and then it's a player option for 52.4. So if you do acquire him, then you're either hoping that he opts in or praying that he opts out. I mean, because, you know, if he comes to your team and he's not playing great and it's not working out, well, then now you're going to be stuck with him for 2 years and $100 million. I do think that Jimmy Butler becomes more of a trade deadline target next year. If Miami's season isn't going great and if he continues to be at odds with Miami's front office, maybe you get to February and you decide at that point that you're going to trade him.
All right, we got a lot of sound to work through. Bob Myers spoke. Anthony Slater was on in studio with the roast, and there's a lot of important stuff for you to hear. And so we'll do that next. We'd love to hear your calls on into the 5 o'clock hour as the first round of the NBA draft gets started. 888-957-9570. The draft show is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners, who strive to build long-lasting relationships with their clients, offering education and guidance throughout life's journey. We're also presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.